I'm really pleased to welcome Luis Prieto, the director of Shattered, which is now playing in select theaters and available on demand. Luis, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent. The movie tells the story of Chris, who is a tech millionaire who's going through a divorce, and he winds up wheelchair bound due to an injury, and he's taken care of by a new acquaintance named Sky. Things go horribly wrong, and in addition to being a really intense thriller, Shattered also has a lot of subtext about capitalism. Now, I understand that you earned an economics degree before becoming a filmmaker, and I wonder, did that background compel you to direct David Lowery's screenplay?
I wouldn't say it was determined to making the decision of making this film. I should also say, you know, just for clarity, I never finished my degree in economics. I sort of dropped it after 2 years.
Okay.
But I got an idea of what it meant, the world of economics and capitalism. So I will say, when I read the script, that was not, probably was one of those things that, you know, in addition to that, it has also that level, the fact that it makes a statement about where we are today. And what is the essence of the two, let's say, bad guys of the movie, quote unquote. So I think that that was another layer in the film. And personally, I like films that they have many layers. So if you're watching the film and you just want to have a good time, you just have a good time. If on top of that, you feel like being a little bit thoughtful and you want to read a little bit more, you find the elements to read more. And I think this film has those elements there. And yes, there is a beautiful scene between Frank Grillo and Cameron Monaghan, where they talk a little bit the haves and the have-nots, and I think that's what you're referring to. And I think it's a great scene that makes you think a couple of things. You know, there are a couple of other things, great lines of dialogue between, I won't say the lines, but anyway, between Sky and the character Frank Grillo. Also, they're pretty funny about, you know, the world where we live.
Yeah, and I think that also carries through well with the visual language of the film. This, you know, this kind of the high house up on the hill, and then there's a motel that's sort of down in the village. I don't want to give anything away, but it seemed like this was kind of thematically woven into almost every corner of the movie. One of the things I loved about Shattered was it plays almost like an update of Rob Reiner's Misery. It's not a remake. It has its own voice and its own rhythms, but I wonder, were you conscious of that movie while you were making your film? And if so, how did you steer away from similarities?
Well, I was definitely conscious, because when I read the script, I felt like, wow, this reads as, you know, it reads great. It's a great script and reminds me of one of my favorite movies, Misery. So inevitably, it came to my mind in a positive way, because at the same time, the script of Shattered felt like it was very different, obviously, shared many elements. Like most scripts shared with Shakespeare in a way. but at the same time, it had many new elements. So it felt like it is a different movie. It's not the same movie. So actually, I was not concerned. I was rather not concerned about, being too close to it, because it has nothing to do with it. In fact, what I wish it was, I hope I can be closer. I hope I can make the character of Lily Skies get an Oscar, like, you know, Bates got in that movie, you know. I was looking for that, for example, in the performance. That was the biggest reference of Misery, was actually in the performance, like to make sure that, especially for the character of Sky, to keep that level of, of intensity, being so sweet and then all of a sudden turn and be the meanest person in the world. So anyway, it was great to have that. There is something that I could study and see, like, how can I learn from the masters? You know?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the casting, because it really is spot on throughout, you know, like all of the different parts, particularly Lily Krug. She brings a unique kind of mania to that character. But many of the characters exhibit a sort of razor thin duality. And I wonder, was it difficult to cast these parts? And in the case of the veteran actors like John Malkovich and Frank Grillo, how much did you allow them to play versus perhaps sticking to what was written strictly on the page?
Well, when one works with actors of the level of John Malkovich and Frank Grillo, you know, you feel really lucky, because already you're bringing a lot to the table, you know. And they were both amazing. With both of them, you know, we talk about what was in the page, and then those parts they only grew. You know, they will just throw something in. It will be amazing, you know. And you know, it was, although they're both very different actors, it was just the same process with both of them. You know, each take was slightly different. There was something new that kept the scene fresh. And you know, it was always like, oh God, this is better than the previous one. Like, wait, but this one is even better, you know. So it only kept getting better. So working with John Malkovich is one of the things that one has wish to do one day in your life as a director. And I was so lucky, you know, to have him in the film. And every minute in the set with him, I felt that there was something growing, because he's just an amazing actor. But I have to say also, between takes and outside of the set, like in the evenings, you realize that in addition to being a great actor, he's also an incredible person, really generous with everyone, with the rest of the cast, with the crew, with myself. So it just, one feels extremely lucky just to make a film with someone like John Malkovich. With Frank Grillo, it's a little bit the same. You know, it's someone with a lot of energy that really, when he's on set, he really lights up the show. And just bring a very special energy. So again, you know, we'll be shooting a scene and then all of a sudden he would bring something that you didn't expect and it would be like, wow, you blew my mind again.
Two kind of behind the scenes questions. One, did Malkovich pick out that jacket that he wears? Because there's something that tells me that he did.
Well, here is the thing. So with the costume designer, we look at different options. And I have to say, we have like maybe three jackets. That was the ugliest one. And I told the production designer, unfortunately, he won't go for that one because it's too much, but I love it. Now, what was my surprise when Malkovich saw the three jackets, he said, well, it's definitely that one, isn't it? So
that's great. And then the other one is, I just got to ask about Frank Grillo's hair. It's amazing, and he just has his own look. Does he do like hair and all that stuff on set, or do you just show up and that's just, it just is how it is?
No. He does his look. I mean, and again, with his wardrobe, you know, we wanted to create something peculiar for him, something that he hasn't done, or we didn't feel like he was the image of Frank Grillo. So no, I mean, he might look like Frank Grillo because he's Frank Grillo, but you know, we sort of like, you know, made that look.
All right, so Shattered is also surprisingly violent and sexually explicit, and mm-hmm. that's not a criticism, but I just wonder, did you direct it as a throwback or as a reaction to the kind of watered-down thrillers that we've seen a lot of in recent years?
Well, I didn't think that much about any of that, in the sense that I just read the script and interpreted what it was there. Regarding the violent scenes, it is true that when you're doing a violent scene, you can go many ways. And in other films, I have gone in different ways. And in this one, for some reason, it felt like, you know, Clockwork Orange was also a movie that resonated in my head when I was making it. And it felt, you know what? I think here there is a space for that. Maybe because there is also light moments in the movie. Maybe because there is an element of comedy, if you want, in the movie, within the thriller, within the drama. And it felt that you could have those moments that you could shock everyone the same way that the protagonist was getting shocked. So it just felt natural in a way to go that way. And, you know, there is an interesting balance between violence that is gratuitous and violence that is not. And in this case, in the film, you know where you are in every moment. So it didn't feel like we were pulling a cheap trick, if you know what I mean. You know, it felt like this is what it needs to get to be done in this scene.
Well, I was going to say it felt very inventive, even if as it was intense. There's a bit in the climax where, not to give anything away, but there's this sort of a crab walk with two characters that I didn't understand what I was looking at. But it was just, you know, once I kind of, I rewound, I cheated, and I went back and I looked at it again. I was like, that's amazing.
Well, I'm glad you rewind. That's something interesting. And just to finish, regarding the sex scenes, it's kind of like the same, you know, I mean, this basically, without telling too much about the movie, you know, getting into specifics, this is about a guy who falls deep in love with a girl, and it's the most intense love, passionate love that you can have. So there is a little bit of basic instinct in that sense. You know what I mean? You have this wild sex, and you can't talk about wild sex without showing the wild sex. Or, and it's not that it's explicit. You know, you don't, you know, I think the movie is very polite, if you want, you know, showing the sex scenes. But it does tell you, you know, this is hot. You know, there is stuff going on here. We're not trying to be, how can I say, like, oh my God, you know, like, I'm afraid of showing this or showing that. Like, no, this is what people do. This is real life. And, you know, again, you know, it's very, I think, it's very well shot. It's very beautiful to watch. But again, if you look at the art, you know, and I'm talking from Italy right now, everyone is naked. All the sculptures are naked. You know, it's the beauty of the human body. So there is nothing to be scandalized about that.
Well, speaking of art, and this is my last question. There's a painting in the movie that is attributed to Picasso, and it's such a striking image that I went and I looked it up after I watched the movie, and I realized there's a bit of deception on the part of the screenplay and possibly one of the main characters in the film. Was this in the original script, or was this something that you kind of developed as some of the visual themes came together in the movie?
You mean regarding the painter of that painting?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So this is a tricky thing. It's one of those things that sometimes you have to tiptoe and construct. The reason it is in the script, it was always a painting by Picasso, because it has, you know, for many reasons, everyone knows who is Picasso and the style is very specific and all that. But at the same time, there is the reality check. You cannot feature Picasso artwork. It's just, there is no way the Picasso state is going to allow you to do that in a movie. So what we figure out is that we could feature a painting of another Spanish painter, Juan Gris, that is actually a portrait of Picasso. So that is what is in the movie. And when the character of John Malkovich asks the character of Cameron, is that, what is that? Cameron says, you know, Gris says, is basically a portrait of Picasso. It doesn't say that it's a Picasso. So I think that's the part that, you know, again, you might feel like, well, wait a second, is that really a Picasso? No, we never said that it was a Picasso. Looks like a Picasso because it's also a cubist painting, but it's actually a portrait of Picasso by Juan Gris, and another amazing painter, Spanish painter.
Yeah, it was, again, so many layers to this movie. And congratulations on Shattered. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk with me. And yeah, I hope people discover this, you know, on demand and playing in theaters. So thank you very much, Luis.
Thank you, Ian. Apologies for the technical difficulties.
No worries. Good luck with the rest of the day.
All right. Thank you. Cheers.
All right. Bye-bye. Take. Bye.